It is a Sunday morning, and it's the 10 o'clock hour, and that means it is time for us to be visited once again by Willie Hallihan, who runs the website Sporting a Cause, sportingacause.com. Willie does a blog up there, but he also posts events that are in chronological order, our fundraising events that are all somehow tied to sports. And, of course, it's been a very interesting past 2.5 months, but there seems to be light at the end of the tunnel or at the horizon. We welcome in Willie. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning, Marshall, and thank you as always for your fine promo. Yeah, we've every week is a question mark. I think a mark of hope. At the same time, I think in my narrow world of sports-related fundraisers, we're seeing the shift in thinking from the very beginning days when, as soon as everything closed down, events were just canceled. To then moving on maybe to a little sense of hope where people were waiting for that 30-day mark to decide whether they needed to alter their event or cancel it. And now, although there's more hope, and whether that light at the end of the tunnel is dim or bright, some events are charging full bore ahead, or some are altering even 3 or 4 months down the road just so they don't have to worry about it. But anyway, you can sense the change of thinking, and we're all accommodating it one way or the other. In terms of what's going on this week, yesterday was the longest day. That's an event sponsored by the Alzheimer's Association. It symbolizes, of course, the longest physical day of the year, but also in the Alzheimer's world, every day is the longest day. If you're an Alzheimer's sufferer or certainly an Alzheimer's caregiver, every day is the longest day. And it's only a couple of years old, but it started out as a virtual event. While other events have had to become virtual because of the pandemic, it already was virtual, and people on yesterday, and it doesn't have to be restricted to yesterday. Walks tend to involve months of planning and post-walk money collecting. So although the day was yesterday, people are able to participate after that. The longest day, I think it's probably Alzheimer's Association's second largest fundraiser. Their walk to end Alzheimer's is by far the biggest. That's 400 events across the country, and there'll be one in Litchfield. The one for Litchfield will be actually at Lime Rock Park. And they have, even though it's in October, they're one of those organizations that have altered their program a little bit. We'll talk about that in the future. There's certainly time to. Today, this is an interesting, it's a 5K, it's a virtual 5K, but it was born in the pandemic, where so many running events have, as I said, become virtual because of the pandemic. This one was born as a virtual event. It's called the Growing Community Virtual 5K. It's up in Pittsfield. It's being sponsored by the Berkshire Running Center. I've talked about them before. It's a running store, and they're very community-minded and organize a lot of fundraising events. And this is a fundraiser for an organization called ROPE, which is an acronym for Rites of Passage and Empowerment, and they're raising money for scholarships for students. You can get the details on sportingacause.com. Wednesday, the 24th, actually it's the 24th through the 28th, the Wild Thing 5K, 10K trail race, again up in the Pittsfield area, as all the others, has become a virtual event. And it's a major fundraiser for Mass Audubon, and the trail race is run on one of their preserves, the Pleasant Valley Wildlife Sanctuary. And basically, instead of gathering for the race as they normally would, your runners are offered the chance to run either from Wednesday through Sunday. What a lot of them do, and I haven't talked about this before, is a lot of these runs turned virtual encourage runners to run when they can, but to send pictures to the Facebook site or the website, and send in your times to in a way to try to capture some sense of normalcy from the real event. So virtually, all of these events seem to have that element where run when you can, where you can, and send in pictures so everybody can see them and share in the joy of running, even though you can't run together. Also this week, from Thursday through Sunday, is the Travelers Championship. I'd like to get back to that at the end, if I may, because I have a couple of kind of sidebars to that story. The 26th, which is this coming Friday, was supposed to be the Relay for Life of Berkshire County, but that's been postponed. They don't have a date yet, but sometime in the autumn, they hope to get that together. The Saturday, the 27th, was supposed to be the Salisbury Cricket Club's cricket match. That's been postponed. They hope to do that also in the fall. I hope they can, because that's a fundraiser for both the Salisbury Ambulance and the Jane Lloyd Fund. Well, it's taken a huge hit this year because of canceled events. And the 28th, which is this coming Sunday, was supposed to be the Highland Games at Lime Rock Park, and that has been canceled for this year. It'll be back in 2021. Now, to get back to the Travelers Championships, that's, of course, if you're a golfer, you know what this is. This is a professional event at Cromwell. It's being run this year without spectators. And the thing about the Travelers is that, well, first of all, it has an incredible field of players this year. I mean, the very best of the world, I think maybe Tiger Woods is the only one at the top of his game that isn't coming, but all the others are. Unfortunately, we can't watch live. We can watch it on TV. It'll be great to see. But this one of the sidebars of the Travelers is that I'm not sure people understand these professional golf tournaments are fundraisers, of course. I think that's pretty much widely known. But I don't know if anyone realizes the depth to which the philanthropy goes. Now, Travelers, I'm not sure if they all do this, but the Travelers gives 100% of all the revenues for the tournament to charity. They have a couple of high-profile causes. ALS is a big charity for them, and Wounded Warriors as well. But I've listed on my website, under the Travelers section, 103 small charities, both in Connecticut and the surrounding area, that have benefited in one way or the other from the Travelers Championships. And there are all kinds of organizations. There are animal welfare groups, hunger organizations, veterans organizations. They really run the gamut. But all of the 103 charities have benefited because of the Travelers. And in a normal year, in other words, a non-pandemic year, like last year when there were spectators and therefore tickets to be sold, even more charities had the opportunity to sell tickets and keep the proceeds, including the Hoosie Golf Team, for example. So in the years past, there have been up to 250 charities that have benefited from the Travelers Championships. I'm just not sure people realize that there's such the depth of their philanthropy just goes so far and so wide. And the other sidebar, if you will, it's not really a Travelers story, but certainly a professional golf one. Nick Watney, who's an American golfer, had to withdraw from the RBC Heritage tournament in Hilton Head, which is going on this weekend, because he tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, I'm not sure if you heard this story, Marshall, but he has what's called a WHOOP strap, W-H-O-O-P strap. It's a kind of wearable tech. It's like a Fitbit or an Apple Watch. It's a device you wear on your wrist. It's professional athletes use it a lot. One, because it's not cheap. But two, it monitors all kinds of bodily data that the average person probably wouldn't even be concerned about. Respiration rates and heartbeats and caloric burn and all that kind of thing. But one of the things that it measures is respiration rate during sleep. And apparently, if your respiration rate increases by 2 breaths per minute while you're asleep, it means something's wrong with your body. And Nick apparently saw this, and it's a little unclear whether he already had symptoms or not, but the interesting thing is that he knew something wasn't right just from his WHOOP strap. and that may have sent him to get a test, maybe in advance of some of the more obvious symptoms. The implications of this, I think, I'm sure we'll be hearing more about this in the days ahead, could be significant because, as you know, the medical world is frantically looking for cures and vaccines and therapies and new ways to test. And if something like this Whoop strap or something like it could be almost like an early warning system, if you could be forewarned that something wasn't quite right even before your body told you that, if you could gain a half a day or a day or 2 days where and you got your test, that you could be removed from your interaction with people, it could be huge. But just throw one more little bit of information into this pool of pandemic conversation. We'll see. I think we'll be talking about it in the weeks ahead. And that's pretty much it for the week, Marshall.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because a lot of people are relaxing too much in other states. Around here, it's pretty good. You don't see many people without masks on. You see a few. But in most states that people are getting too close together and not wearing masks, you see these incredible spikes once again. And people tend to think that because we are slowly coming out, that there is some sort of magic cure that's going to be available. And right now there isn't. The only cure we have is to test and find out if you have the antibodies. And if you have the antibodies and you haven't, of course, gotten sick yet, at least you know that you have the antibodies. And if you have gotten sick, well, you're part of an experiment. And until a vaccination is found, which is probably months away, we're all going to have to get used to social distancing and wearing a mask. Those are two small things to be able to go out in public and to support local charities and do things and attend events that raise funds for charities. So you really want people to just follow those two small rules. Wear a mask when you're out in public and social distance as best as you can. And those two things will get us through until hopefully some sort of vaccine is found.
Yeah. Now you have your finger on the pulse of this. I'm curious to know when testing, unless it already is, testing is available for those who don't necessarily have symptoms. Like I had early on, I had a couple of days where I didn't feel very good, and I wonder in the back of my mind, did I have a mild case of it? I would love to know, out of curiosity, but I don't want to go looking for a test when it's being reserved for the people with symptoms.
Well, coming up this week at the White Hart, there's an American Red Cross blood drive, and they tell you if you go to that blood drive and donate blood, you will absolutely get the antibody test. It won't be any charge, and you'll find out within a couple of days whether or not you have the antibodies in your body or not.
Perfect.
And Sharon Hospital is now doing testing. All the hospitals are doing testing across Connecticut and New York. But really, when the American Red Cross is doing a blood drive now, they are testing for these antibodies. So that's the easiest way. So if you folks want to donate blood and find out at the same time if you have the antibodies, go to the White Hart on Thursday and donate blood.
Perfect. That's just the answer I was looking for.
So I'll see you at the White Hart on Thursday then.
All right, Marshall.
Willie, have a great weekend.
You do the same, Marshall. Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
That is Willie Hallahan, Sporting a Cause, here on Robin Hood Radio. And you can find Willie at sportingacause.com.